The Gemara begins, the Gemara in Shabbos, when it talks about the idea of Chanukah. It begins, my Chanukah. What is Chanukah? And then it goes and tells us the story of how when the Greeks entered the sanctuary, they contaminated all the oil in the sanctuary. When the royal house, the Chashmonim, gained the upper hand, defeated them, they searched and found only one flask of oil, the Chotem, the seal of the Kohen Gadol, lit it. And it lasted, we know, for 8 days. When the Gemara asks, my Chanukah, so Rashi explains that question as, in source 1, al eza nes kavuha. For what miracle did they establish the holiday of Chanukah? Was it for the miracle of the war? Was it for the miracle of the oil? Al eza nes kavuha. However, a number of refershim, of al kama rishonim refershim kavanata kushya, my Chanukah, lama nikra hayantuf b'shem Chanukah. Why is this holiday called Chanukah? What is the reason for Chanukah? And obviously, whatever answer has to be given has to be found within the Gemara itself, right? So every holiday, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, we have to ask ourselves, what is the meaning, the name we know is the essence? My Chanukah. So we all know, we've learned this as kids, Chanukah, hey, they rested on the 25th day of Kislev, they stopped fighting the war, and this was a miracle happened. Good. So again, from the Chanukah, hey, they rested on 25th, it would seem like the focus is on winning of the war. And from the Gemara, it seems like the focus is on the candles. So again, the question is, my Chanukah, what is the name Chanukah about? So I'd like to share a piece from the Tikkuni Zohar. Now, before we get excited that this shiur is going to be out there will be elements of it that will be a little bit out there. It's going to be a very, very down-to-earth practical shiur, Mirtzah Hashem, so, like, relax. I want to share a Tikkuni Zohar that's not well-known and to try to understand this on two levels and gives us a deeper insight into what Chanukah and our avoda in Chanukah is about. The Tikkuni Zohar, the Shvilei Pinchas quotes in source number 2, the 8 days of Chanukah are celebrated after the first 24 days of Kislev. Those 24 days correspond to 24 letters of the Declaration of Unity in Baruch Shem Kvo Machuso Lolam Va'et. Thereafter, the 25 letters of the Declaration of Unity rested upon Yisrael on the 25th of Kislev, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The name Chanukah, which can be broken down to the two words Chanu, Kafei, indicates this fact. They are able to relax due to the 25 letters of the Declaration of the Unity of Shema Yisrael. So obviously, as Reb Sadek points out, that the first 24 days is the Baruch Shem, it's a lower level, and that's the defeating of the Greeks, and the higher level, the Shema Yisrael, happened on the 25th day when they found the oil. Notwithstanding, it's incumbent upon us to explain, in a manner that is relevant to every living being, the general connection between these two declarations, Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem, and the miracle of Chanukah. More specifically, what is the connection between the first 24 days of Kislev and the 24 letters of Baruch Shem Kol Machuso Olam Ve'et? And what is the connection between the 25th day of Kislev, the day on which the 8 days of Chanukah begin, and the 25 letters of Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? Just because Shema Yisrael, Shema, Shin, Mem, Ayin, right, has 25 letters, and Baruch Shem has 24 letters. So the 24 represent the 24 days of the war, and the 25th represents the day that we rested and the day we found the oil. Like, there's obviously a deeper connection here. And Chanukah, hey, they rested on the 25th, on the 25 letters of Shema Yisrael. What's the message for our lives? So I'd like to try to look at this, as we mentioned, Mirtzah Hashem, on two levels. And the second level will have two parts. So the first level, I'd like to look at a piece, again, from this piece of Shvilei Pinchas, or Pinchas Friedman, in Tavshin Ayin Vav. And he begins by saying, so just work with us as we enter into a few different realms here. He begins by saying that the whole idea of Chanukah really doesn't begin in the times of Bais Sheni, the Second Temple period. It begins by Yaakov Avinu. Ma'isa Avot Tzimu Labanim, what our forefathers did, has implications for us. Now again, we who are looking at things very linearly say, what do you mean? Yaakov Avinu has in mind what's going on in the Cheshvanaim. That's because of our very limited vision. Again, very much today is going to be about breaking barriers. When I go beyond my limited vision and understand that what the Avos were doing was setting the stage for all of Klal Yisrael till the end of time, right? Yaakov Avinu is the one who wanted to be Megala the case. He wanted to tell us when the end was going to be. Their lives are very much focused on all of Jewish history, not just as an individual. And therefore, we find among the Sfarim, in the story in Parashat Vayishlach, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, Yaakov was left alone, Vayavek Ishimo Adalota Shachar, and a man wrestled with him until the morning. Why was Yaakov Avinu alone? Right? He had brought over his entire family, and then he's left alone. So Chazal tell us that Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, don't read it as Levado, but Likado. He went back for Pachim Ktanim, for some small jugs that he had left on the other side. So the Sfarim explained that those jugs was the, and again, not literal, conceptual, was the jug of oil that he was retrieving. And that was a sign that Klal Yisrael was going to be able to find this jug of oil. The flask of pure oil, which only contained enough oil to kindle for one day, these were the Pachim Tanim. And this was orchestrated from above, source number 4, that Yaakov only remembered to retrieve the jars at night. After all, the mitzvah to light Hanukkah candles is valid at night after the sun set. The fascinating thing is that Esav, who's fighting with him, who's an archangel, hits him in his thigh bone. And we know, again, for this reason, Esav's ministering angel fought with him and struck a blow to Yaakov's left thigh bone. And if you know the diagram of the midos, right, chesed, each one is corresponds to a different part of the body. The left thigh is hod. The right thigh is netzach, the left thigh is hod. It was striking the part, the mida of hod. Continuing source 6, generations later, during the time of the Cheshvanaim, by means of the miracle of Chanukah, they rectified the Midah of Hod, because the whole idea of Chanukah, as we'll see soon, is Lahala Ulahodos, to give thanks. We can suggest that this is allusion to the Pasuk, Vayar Kilo Yacholo. The Malach realized that he could not prevent Yaakov's preparation for the lighting of the Lo, the 36 candles, Chanukah candles. Now, that explains, according to Galei Mukos, that later on the Pasuk says, Vayizrach lo Hashemesh, and the sun shone for him to heal him from his limping. Again, this allusion specifically related to the word lo, the tremendous light associated with 36 Chanukah candles that his descendants would light in the future on Chanukah, shone upon him in order to heal his limp. It's as if Yaakov Avinu is setting the stage that we are going to be successful. And he is injured in the process. And we, generations later, again, symbolically, are able to rectify and able to heal him from his limp. The whole idea of Chanukah is to be able lahalo ulahodos. Now, let's take this one step further. Yaakov Avinu is setting the stage. He's preparing that we should be able to be successful in this battle against the Yavanim, that we should be able to find this cruse of oil, and that we should be able to light this light, and the miracle should happen. Let's have another Nakuda, and we'll bring all these points together. There are two essential miracles on Chanukah. First, there was a Cheshvanim miraculous victory over the Greeks. The weak and the few defeated the strong and the many. And we commemorate this in the Alanisim, where we show gratitude of Masar to Giborim, Yad Chalashim, etc. Afterwards, there was a second miracle involving the flask of pure oil, which kindled the menorah for an entire 8 days. Now, the Gemara explains that the 8 days of Chanukah were established to commemorate the miracle of the candles. Why wasn't the festival of Chanukah established to commemorate the miraculous military victory? So the Maharal in their mitzvah explains that in truth, the main miracle of Chanukah was a victory on the battlefield, the holy priestly Hashmonaim engaged in a Mechamet Mitzvah to fight the fact that they were weaker and fewer in number. They combated the evil Greek regime that imposed itself upon Israel, endeavoring to make them forget Hashem's Torah. If not for the military victory of the Greeks, who issued decrees preventing Israel from fulfilling Kiyum Mitzvos, the miracle of the candles would have served no purpose. However, the challenge is, we've spoken about this many times, that when you're dealing with a military victory, it's easy for people to say, no, it was military brilliance, they were lucky, you know, whatever excuse you want to give, right? The classic example is the Six-Day War, where the entire Egyptian fleet of planes was destroyed before they even left the ground. Military brilliance. When you fall into that trap, so then you're really in trouble. And you could easily say, I'm going to make a holiday over a miracle of the military brilliance. Of course not. You know, who says God was involved here? So we therefore need the second miracle, the miracle of the oil, which clearly was a miraculous event. And the miracle of the oil is thereby supposed to then arouse within me that not only was the miracle of the oil a miraculous event, but the war itself was a miraculous event. This is seen so clearly in the Ramban. The Ramban teaches us a fundamental principle. All of the miracles performed by Kadosh Baruch Hu on our behalf during the exodus from Egypt, which were beyond the realm of nature, were intended to inculcate in us the awareness that incredible miracles are performed on our behalf on a daily basis, concealed within the realm of nature. Quoting the Ramban, due to phenomenal, obvious miracles, a person recognizes the concealed miracles, which are the foundation of the entire Torah. A person has no portion in Torah Moshe Rabbeinu until he believes that everything we do and experience, everything is a miracle. They are not due to natural nature or natural causes, whether they benefit the general public or an individual. In simple English, there is no Teva. There is no nature. Everything's a miracle from God. That which happens on a relatively regular basis, we call it nature, right? Grain or, you know, an apple pit or an apricot pit put in the ground and it disintegrates into the ground and then it grows into a tree. We say, wow, that's nature. A person, Lo Aleinu, who dies and is buried in the ground and then comes to life, we say, wow, Trias Amatim. Is there any difference between an apricot tree and a person? No, it's both Trias Amatim. It's resurrection. It's God. One we're used to, so we call it nature. But really, everything is miraculous. This enlightens us why Kadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated two miracles on Hanukkah and Tet. The first miracle, the military victory, transpired within the realm of nature. The second miracle, involving the oil and the candles, transpired beyond the realm of nature. It proved that even the victory in the battlefield was a miracle. And that, my friends, is why, in source number 11b, we have the famous answer the Balei Musar give from the Saba of Kelm of why do we have Hanukkah as an 8-day miracle when the miracle only happened 7 days. So the Moda Labina quotes the following. He says, Nitgaled dechol inyan shemen shedolek afunes haynu shdiyish nisim nistarim v'hem b'chayei yom yom v'yis nisim gluyim shanei segalui b'di Who says that oil is supposed to even last one day? Right? This is, on the first level, the breaking out of the barriers within our own mindset, where we attribute things that we're used to as nature. We need to break out of that mindset, and we have to realize, no, it's all about the Ribono Shel Olam. So why do I have an 8-day holiday? Because I'm celebrating on the first day the fact that oil even burns at all is no less of a miracle than if it burns for 8 days. Everything's miraculous. One is couched in nature, and one is in the supernatural. And hence, the Admor from Bells explains that this is why we say in the Al-Hanisim, for the miracles that Hashem, in source number 11, did for us. What do you mean, the miracles? It focuses on, focuses on the war. Why in the plural? Because it's really focusing on both, that you can't have one without the other. And that, my friends, is really the key of Hanukkah. We say in the Neiros Halalu, we light these candles, Kedei Lahodos Ulahalal, in order to be able to praise and give gratitude to Hashem for everything He's done for us. We say to thank Hashem Al Nisecha for your open miracles, Val Yeshua Secha, the miracles of the war, Val Niflosecha. Niflosecha says that Sifte Chaim is Hamuflos, V'mechusot, that which is concealed from us. As the Gemara says, Afilu Bal HaNesei, No Makir B'Niso. Even a person who has a miracle happen to them doesn't even know it. Right? Driving. Every time you get to your destination, that's a miracle. Oh, forget about driving. Walking. Forget about walking. Breathing. Let's start from the basics. All of this is a miracle. What is our job on Chanukah? Our job on Chanukah, and this is learned from the language of the Rambam. The Rambam says, Lahodiyah HaNes. We're here to publicize the miracle of the oil. V'lahosif, and then to add Shevach, Lahodiyah ala Nisim, and all the miracles. And that includes the miracle of the war, and then all the miracles that Hashem has done for us. The point of lighting the candles, right? The real mitzvah of the day of Chanukah is not lighting the candles. The real mitzvah of the day of Chanukah is lahalo lahodos, to give thanks. Kedei lahodos lahalo. You take a look at the Gemara of the May Chanukah, and therefore the following year, Kavum, they established it as days of lahodos lahalo. It doesn't say Kavum to light Chanukah candles. It doesn't say Kavum to eat latkes. It's Kavum to lahodos lahalo. The lighting of the candles is one of the mediums. Saying halal is another medium. Playing dreidel is another medium. These are all mediums, right? Eating latkes, sufganing out, are all mediums of lahalo lahodos to thank Hashem for the miracles. But we can't get lost in the latkes and forget that it's to remind us of the miracles and to thank Hashem, not only for the miracles of the past, but for the continuous miracles that Hashem does for us. The holiday of Chanukah is to open us up to see that our whole lives is a miracle, whether they are overt miracles or covert miracles. Everything that Hashem does for us is a gift. And that's why the Sifte Chaim begins at the beginning of Surah 12. And this dovetails what we spoke about last week. A person can't say, Magia li, avur ma'asai tovim, I deserve this. Why should I say thank you? This is coming to me. No. Lakir v'lodot, that was goodly, beginning of 12. Shekol ma'ashe yeshlo, humakabel ma'ashe mitbarach b'chesed chinam. Everything that we have is a gift from the Ribbono Shalom, and we need to appreciate it. And hence, in Source 14, Rav Simcha Zissel of Kelm says, the Pirsumei Nisa, the publicizing of the miracle, is Birosha Barishana L'Adam Atzmo, is for a person themselves, right? So if you light a Chanukah candle inside your house, and you're wondering, for whatever reason, you can't light it by a window or a door, and you're wondering, well, what Pirsumei Nisa is it? And let's say there's no one else in the house. So I'm publicizing the miracle for whom? And the answer is for yourself. Shibahabliko, Haneiros Hitbonain, because when you light the candles, you should be able to introspect. Viyargish, and you should feel it. Goldel Haneis, the tremendous miracle. Viyakabel alatmo ol machud shemayim, viratzo ubisimcha. That's the goal. Shema Yisrael. The goal is Kabbalah ol machud shemayim. The goal is that I'm a greater Evan Hashem on a higher level. And if I'm not changed in my relationship with Ribbono Shalom, if I don't feel indebted, if I don't feel a greater thankfulness and connection and awareness, and whatever other word you want to use, so I've missed the boat. If I'm just lighting the candles and you know, eating my latkes and spinning my dreidel, and I think that I celebrated Chanukah with all my Chanukah parties, and I've never really emotionally felt that connection of gratitude toward Hashem, it's limited. Right? The example we've given probably almost every year, but it's my favorite from the Sifte Chaim brings, so we'll give it again, is imagine somebody going to, living in Eretz Yisrael, someone going to America, and I say to them, you know about Amazing Savings, my favorite store, and they say, yeah, and I say to them, can I give you a lift and buy me some stuff? They say, sure. I go to America and they come back and I say to them, how was your trip? Nice. I asked that first, and they said, great. And then I say to them, do you remember the list? Yeah, we read the list every day. Amazing. Right? Amazing savings. Amazing. And I said, okay, great. And so, where's the stuff? What stuff? You remember I gave you a list? Yeah, I read the list every single day. Great. Now, where's the stuff? I was supposed to buy the stuff. I just read the list. Saying Haneiros Halalu and lighting the candles without buying the stuff is as limited as the story. It's about buying the material. It's about Kedei Lahodos Halalu. It's about actually giving thanks to the Ribono Shel Olam. That's the goal. Now, my friends, let's go back into the Shule Pinchas. We know that there are two names in Source 15 that the Ribono Shel Olam interacts with this world. There's the name Elohim, which means judgment. And then there's the name of Yudkei Vavkei, and that's Hateva, that's the natural world. And then there's the Yudkei Vavkei, there's the Rachamim, which goes above the natural world into the supernatural and the miracles. So the Likutei Torah explained, based on the Arizal, going back to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is trying to set the stage, the Pachim Ktanim, and the Hod, and this idea of Hodaya. What does Yaakov Avinu do? The Pasuk before that he's left alone, it says that he crossed the ford of Yabok, Nachal Yabok, and he took them and brought them across the stream, and he brought across that which was his. In the Likutei Torah, in the double bracket of 15, the Arizal provides us with illuminating illusion regarding this pasuk. The word Yabok, right, which is the Nachal, the brook, is numerically equivalent to the sum of the two names, Havaya and Elohim. 26 plus 86 equals 112, Yabok. This alludes to the fact that in preparing for the miracle of Hanukkah, Yaakov Avinu had a mind to combine these two names. And it's not by accident that it is called Nachal Yabok. Nachal is the Rashi Tevot of Lahadlik Ner Hanukkah, to light the candle lights. And the Torah adds, Vayavor et Asher Lo, specifically employing the term Lo, which equals 36, he's making the preparation for the 8 days of Hanukkah, where Yaakov Avinu understands that the preparation is going to happen on two levels, on the fighting level and on the Pach Shemen level, the Havaya level of the Me'ala Teva and the Elohim level on Teva. So now, on this first level, my friends, we can now go back to the Baruch Shem and the Shema Yisrael. 17. With the declaration of Shema Yisrael, this is obviously very deep. We, the children, ascend in our thoughts to sacrifice our lives in order to unite with Hashem, our Father, in the heavenly realms, detached from all concerns of Olam Hazeh. Therefore, this declaration is referred to as Yichuda Eloi, because we unite with Hashem above. After we have ascended to the heavens to unite with Hashem, we draw Him down to unite with us in Olam Hazeh, declaring Baruch Shem Kvo Machus Olam Va'ed Yichuda Tatai. So now we can appreciate. The 24 days of Kislev is analogous to the lesser declaration Baruch Shem. Until that day, the Chashmonim battled the Greeks and ultimately defeated them. That miraculous victory was disguised within the realm of nature of Elohim, and that's why it is the lesser declaration of Baruch Shem, which has 24 letters. On the following day, the 25th day of Kislev, Hashem performed the miracle of the candles on behalf of Klal Yisrael, allowing them to kindle the menorah for 8 days with pure light. This was a supernatural miracle. This miracle is analogous to the superior declaration of Shema Yisrael. But in reality, we know, based on the Ramban, that the purpose of the supernatural miracles is to instill in us the belief that all that occurs within the realm of nature is also a miracle. Therefore, the Pasuk Shema Yisrael's superior declaration beyond the realm of nature also alludes to the miracles that occur within the guise of nature. And that's why you have Shema Yisrael Hashem, Elokeinu, the Yudkei Vavkei above the natural order, Elokim, the natural order, is all Hashem Echad, is all coming from the supernatural. There's really nothing natural. Everything is coming from Hashem. And that is the message of Hanukkah. Chanu Kafhe, when the Cheshvanim were victorious and they came in, this is a realization that everything that happened on the Hanukkah story is from the supernatural. Everything is Hashem Echad. And what the Shema Yisrael, what Hanukkah, the 25 letters are supposed to remind us, is that we have to give thanks to Hashem for the Hashem and for the Elohim, for the natural, the supernatural, because everything's coming from Hashem, and we can take nothing for granted. Just to take this idea one step further, and then we'll move to the second level, Meretz Hashem, is that when one gives thanks to Hashem, at that moment one gives thanks, you create an eight ratzon, a time of favor in Shemayim. The Sefer, which is a great Sefer, around the year with Rav Melech, of Rav Elimelech Biderman, 19a, 19b, he brings from the story we spoke about last week. First, Yaakov Avinu thanks, Katonti Mikol HaChasadim, and I appreciate everything you do, and then, Hatzileni Na. And he brings down in 20 that this is explains why we have Modim, which is giving thanks to Hashem, and then we have Birkas Kohanim and Sim Shalom, which are the most amazing ability to bring down bracha into our lives. Isn't this a section of Hodah? What is Birkas Kohanim and Sim Shalom doing there? And the answer is, once you give thanks, you open up the gateways to ask. And hence, the Sichos B'Ravta Hashem, Rav Meidler says, our job is to sit by the candles and first and foremost thanks. We know that there is, it's become more popular lately, certain Kapitel Tehillims to say. Right? You can say anything, but there's certain that are classic to say after lighting the candles, and those are part of our means of Lahala Lahodos. They're just to encourage us to then, you know, say it in our own language, what we give thanks for. Just to remind ourselves of the Kapitel Tehillim, the last pasuk in Kapitel Tzadik in 90, Vihi Noam, and then 91, Yoshev Eseter. Some people say it, Hasidim say it seven times. And then you have Kapitel Lamed, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Tabayit, Ladavi, Samech Zayin, 67, which in a lot of the Tillims you'll see in the shape of menorah, it's a psukim, Kuf Lamed Gimel, the Shemen al Rosh of Zakana Aron, Lamed Gimel, Ranu Tzadikim Hashem, right, to be able to give thanks to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ana B'Kawach, which is in its own league. These are the Kapitel Tillim, as well as Kuf Yotet, and on the last night of Chanukah to add Mizmor Latoda, 100, and Nishmas Kochai, to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for all that he gives us. I will make mention in 23, and this is a little bit intense. We know that Chanukah is the end of the Gemara Chasima Tova, the end of the final accounting. And there's a lot of connection why Chanukah is an 8-day holiday, because they weren't able to celebrate Sukkot that year, so this becomes a parallel to Sukkot. And he brings down here from the Munkat Sherav, Shizod Chanukah Hi Yom HaGemar Chasima Tova, the last day of Chanukah this year, it's Friday, is the end of the judgment. Kihi Dugma Shmini Atzeret. It parallels to Shmini Atzeret, the giving over of the Petukim. And for our purposes this year, the Zos Chanukah, which parallels Shmini Atzeret and Chas Torah when this massacre happened, this is a day that we can be metakenin. We can be able to do this tshuva iloi, this higher level of tshuva, of just taking Chanukah and thanking Hashem for everything, and not taking anything for granted, and trying to come closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that should be a shmira, protection for everyone involved, the shvuyim, the captives, the soldiers, and all members of Klal Yisrael. Okay, so level number one, the Shema Yisrael, it's the Hashem, the above nature, Elokeinu, within nature, Hashem Echad, Yaakov Avinu, Nach Kal Yabo, Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, to be able to cross over both aspects. Chanukah is about being able, Lahalo, Lahodo, to give thanks to Hashem for everything. Let's take a look at a second idea, my friend. In Hilchos Chanukah, this is the Shmuzim, Rav Mordechai Schwab. We've done his brothers, Rav Moshe Schwab and Rav Shimon Schwab, Marche Lev and Rav Schwab on Chumash, on Tfilah. So now we have Rav Mordechai Schwab, adding to the family, the Shmuzim, Rav Mordechai Schwab. And he says that in Hilchos Chanukah, the Bach asks, why did Chazal, verse 24, not establish the commemoration of Chanukah with feasting and joy as they did for Purim? And he explained that the edict was a physical destruction. We enjoyed from the meal, and the tikkun was not eating, and we celebrate the Purim story with appropriate eating. Then the Bach continues, and here's the key for us in 25. The decree of Chanukah, however, came about because the Jews were misrashel ba'avoda. They served Hashem with a lax attitude. Therefore, the Jews were punished, and the avoda, the Beis Hamikdash, was taken away from them, as Chazal tell us. The wicked one decreed upon them to abolish the Korban Tamid, etc. Rav Chaskel Levenstein, Zatzal, explains, the divine grievance about Chanukah came from a lax attitude which the Jews served Hashem, and in kind, the avoda was abolished as a punishment. The heavenly method of discipline is such, if we neglect lackadaisical in our avoda, the entire avoda in the Beis Hamikdash is taken away. But Rav Chaskel lacks the accusation against Klai Yisrael 26, not because the Jews disregarded the actual avoda, but the lack of Yisrashlos. They were weak in the avoda. And therefore, their tshuva needed to be with Mesiris Nefesh for the avoda. This gives us a new perspective. We're accustomed to thinking that Chizuk and Avodas Hashem is certainly a good thing. But who would consider Rifayo lacking off to be a sin? So, because they lacked off, they were severely punished. Says Rav Chaskel, you see here that lack, you know, being lackadaisical in one service of Hashem is something to be contended with. They were doing the avoda, but they were lackadaisical about it, and they were punished that they couldn't do the avoda. So hence, mida keneged mida, they had to be moser nefesh, they had to go above and beyond to rectify the problem that they originally had. So before we try to understand this Bach on two levels, I just want to make a ha'ara, and it's an important ha'ara, and clearly we'll see its relevancy for our times. Rav Schwab wants to know, Zatzal, where do you see in the Gemara that they were weak in their avoda? It just says they came in and they found the cruse of oil. Where does it even hit that they were lax? Like, how does he know this? So listen to what he says. 28. If indeed Hashem gave us and no one else the Torah, how is it possible for the Yevanim to enter into the Heichal in the first place? How could they have the power to cause destruction in the Beis Hamikdash? From the fact that the Yevanim were able to enter the Heichal, we must conclude the Jews were lax in the Avoda to the extent that it was considered forsaken. And this then called for the punishment of Bitul Avoda, allowing the Yevanim to enter the Heichal. When Klai Yisrael rededicated themselves to Mesiris Nefesh for the Avoda, they defeated the Yevanim, though they were few against many. Now we see the events came full circle. The Yisrashlos Avoda allowed the Yevanim to enter the Heichal. And it's because of this fact that the Yevanim entered the Heichal, that's the source of the Bach. And what was our ability to overcome them is with Mesiris Nefesh. And this is a very intense piece if we see its ramifications. That the only way somebody can break down the barriers that we have is if we are lax in a certain area, then we open up an opening for the enemy to come in. If we are very strong, then no one can break through any borders. We'll leave it at that. Let's go back to the Bach. What does it mean, Hisrashlus Bavota? Rav Schlesinger, in Elahe Mo'adai, V'yesh Lavim, Da'afim Nidrashlu Akonim, Bavadotam, B'chosan, L'sof, Sof, Nikaima, Avota? Okay, they were lax, but they still did the Avota. V'im Kain, Lama Nen Shushin, Iblalahem, L'gamre, Avota, Shem, Mekdash. It seems a little bit intense. Okay, so I'm lax in some areas. I'm still doing it. Why should it be taken away completely? So he quotes here, Katav Sefer Be'er Mechokek. L'Rosh Yeshiva tells the Gorum Chaim Katz itself. D'mikan nomad yisod gadol b'avodas Hashem. Listen to this. It's gevaldik. D'rak avoda sher yesh ba mesirus v'tircha. Only our avodas Hashem, our service of God, that entails mesirus v'tircha. Going above and beyond and investing. He and he created avodah shlema. That's the only thing that's called really serving God. Umibli yigio mesirus nechshav hadavar kichisaron be'etzam ha'avodah. If you're missing putting it all, you're all into it, it's as if the avoda itself is missing. It's not full avoda, it's not full service. Machar shenidrashlu ba'avoda lo hayta kan avodas hamikdash b'shleimusa. Therefore, because they were lackadaisical, it was a lack in the avoda, and therefore they were punished. It was taken away. You know, it's an example of this, my friends, he says, in Parshas Noah. The pasuk says, "Vayikach Shem v'Yafet et Asimla." Vayikach, singular. Shem and Yafet took the clothing to cover Noah. Shem, who was mitametz b'mitzvah, vayikach, singular. It was Shem who really took the initiative. He's the one who gets rewarded. Why? Because albeit Yafet did it as well, or you can't compare the rewards. He wasn't mitametz. He didn't put his all into it. This is what the Ribono Shel Olam wants. Ki rak hitmasrut in the bracket, vitamsus batsiyat mitzvah, he mitzvah shlema. What really constitutes a mitzvah, the fullness of a mitzvah? You need to put yourself in it. Ubiladav chisaron hi batsam mitzvah. If you don't do it, the mitzvah itself is lacking. And that, my friends, is what we have to understand. Therefore, when the Cheshvanim came back, Masru Nasham, they showed the Mesiras Nefesh, that was their tshuva. Then they were able to do the mitzvos in the fullest way possible. My friends, all the mitzvos, not just, you know, dying on Kiddush Hashem, Ne'mar Din Shem Mesiras Nefesh in 30, Shit Racha Adam V'yamol Aleihem, every single mitzvah needs, from our physical energy to our money, to be able to do it to the fullest. That's the message of Chanukah. The message of Chanukah is the Mesiras Nefesh of the Cheshvanayim, is our message for us, that we have to break down the barriers that we create within ourselves. It's okay if I do it this way, it's not such a big deal. And be able to push ourselves above and beyond in doing Torah mitzvahs. That's the Chanukah. That's the rededication. That's the whole issue of what Chanukah is about. Notes of Sifti Chaim, Rav Chaim Friedland Zatzal. Listen to what he says. He says, what is the problem of Nidrashlu, of they became lazy, and the arrow in 32? Tshuva is about fixing where you were crooked, where it went wrong. Hitrashlut novat, where does weakness come from? Mikach shadam ma'adif et anochiyut, people are more concerned with their ego, their I, v'anochiyut, and their comfort shelo, apnei erchim acherim, over any other value. And therefore, the tshuva is vitur al nochiyot v'aretzonot hatzveim l'man erachim ruchaniim amitiim. Mesiras nefesh is I'm moving out of my CZ, my comfort zone, to be able to do what is right in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. And that, my friends, in 33, and that's going out to war, and that's putting themselves on the line. That Mesiras Nefesh, and the Mesiras Nefesh that they had to find that oil and to search. They're going above and beyond with all of their energy. They're not just sitting back. That's the Tikkun. 33a. Hanagat Hashem zu shel shviras gifdrei teva bavur mishmoser nafsho mevateru tzonotav tivim l'man Hashem itbarach v'tovato. Hashem, mida keneged mida, will break the laws of nature for those who break the laws of their own natural order. And hence, we were able to win the war, and hence, we were able to find the cruse of oil. And again, the Sfarim point out, there was no need to have this miracle of the oil, because you could have had, you know, impure oil. Anus rachmana patre, Hashem, you know, allows you, if you're forced, not to be able to do it, you're putter. Why did Hashem do it? Is because you went, Klal Yisrael, Cheshvanim went above and beyond their nature. Hashem went above and beyond the natural order of this world. And he says, "Shebal l'day bitui b'nei Hashem b'chanuka, einat tofah chad pamit shirah ba'avar b'chanuka." The end of 33a, last line. This isn't a one-time thing that happened on Chanukah. Ela morei derech, but this is the paradigm for us. 33b on the top left. L'doros, for all generations. U'milomed l'chol echa v'echad halakha l'maseh. It's teaching us a lesson for life. Sheba osa mida shadam mevater al nochiyot shelo, to the extent that you give up on your comforts. umisgaber al tivo bishvil avodas Hashem, and you go over your natural order to do serve Hashem in Torah and Tefillah and doing any of the mitzvos. Kach zocheh shekadosh baruch hu mesayeh lo umoreim el to ma'al liyicholot tivit ha'regilah shelo. Hashem will respond above the natural order for you as well. And this is true day by day in our lives. I read a beautiful maisa, a very short maisa, that Rav Zilberstein quotes, of a fellow, a family, who had an older daughter, and her friends were getting married, and they were on their third kid, and she still wasn't married, and they were davening and trying everything. And they went to a gadol, I apologize, I don't remember who, and says, like, what should I do? I'm going to tear my hair out. That's what he said. And this gadol says to him, tell me, what time is your chakras in the morning? He says, I daven at 7 o'clock minyan. He says, and what time do you get there? He says, I get there at 7 o'clock. It's at 7 o'clock minyan. I get there at 7 o'clock. He says, get there 5 minutes early. Get there 5 to 7. That will bring you Yeshua. 5 minutes early to davening, when I've been davening so hard. He says, yes. Just stepping out of your comfort zone, 5 minutes. Right? Means getting up a little bit earlier, making sure to get there. Those 5 minutes is your Mesiras Nefesh. You go above and beyond, Hashem will go above and beyond. And sure enough, a few weeks later, the girl is engaged. Rabosai, this story and this idea is so fundamental to our lives. This is the message of Hanukkah. The message of moving ourselves a little bit beyond where we're at. In our time right now, when we need so much of Lamala Mina Teva, we need so much help from the Ribbono Shel Olam above the natural order. We need so much Siyata Deshmaya. What can we do? We can take the message of Hanukkah and make it real in our lives. We each, as an individual, for Zechuyos in our own lives, and for Zechuyos merits in Klal Yisrael's life, to say, let me go. Let me be Moser Nefesh in maybe one area, in a few areas. Let me do my Avodah B'Shlemus. Let me be focused on this concept of Mesiras Nefesh as a Zechus for Klal Yisrael. And Mesiras Nefesh, again, let me show us some examples. Rav Wolba speaks about in 2034. The Agia gives us a greater appreciation for one who remains silent in the midst of an argument or in the face of the temptation to speak Lashon Hara. Such a person has in effect propelled himself out of his natural state and into the realm of the supernatural. Continuing in Rav Schwab in 35, it was precisely because the Chashmonim were Moser Nefesh in waging the war, they merited miracles beyond the natural order. When they were lax in devotion, did not correctly do the Avodah, they suffered. The concept of Mesiras Nefesh does not only mean jumping to a fire and dying on Kiddush Hashem. Mesiras Nefesh is overcoming, bracket in 35, one's nature, and doing more than he naturally is inclined to do. If someone asks you for a favor and you do more than requested to do it, with extra enthusiasm, that is already a degree of Shlemus perfection in the Midah of Chesed. The yardstick for Avodah is that doing more signifies a desire for Shlemus, a desire for more. If you want to know if you have a connection to Shlemus, ask yourself if you go against your natural tendencies. Pushing beyond one's natural predisposition is a yardstick for all avodas of Torah, Tefillah, and Musar. If you go against your nature, overcome your Yitzhara, you're in the category of Mesiras Nefesh. And that's the idea of a single jug of oil. Comes to reveal the power of the individual. One single small flask. One single small Mesiras Nefesh. Going above and beyond, whether it's going above and beyond our comfort zone or doing something that we're already doing and pushing ourselves beyond. Somebody told me a story they heard on Chazak, which was such a beautiful story of somebody in Chutz Laaretz, could be one of you listening right now, who sent over winter coats to families in the people who were displaced from their homes in the south. So they left without even clothes, so they need winter clothes. So this person got an order of exactly, you know, for each family, you know, a 6-year-old boy, an 8-year-old girl, you know, each one what size they needed, the mom. So what did this person do? Not only did they pack up each one and they wrapped it, you know, and wrote on it, 6-year-old girl, 8-year-old boy, whatever, it was a 6-year-old boy, 8-year-old girl, whatever it is. They went to the dollar store and they filled the pockets of the coat with, you know, small things, slinkies, and, you know. So not only did they give them the coats, but they put in small things into the coats. That's Mesiras Nefesh. That's moving above and beyond. That's Shlemus. That's wholeness. And this person told me that they also put something in the mother's coat, like the mother's thinking, you know, the kids are pulling out these slinkies and these little, you know, dollar store stuff. Like, what is she going to get in her coat? And she got in her coat makeup. Wow. Shlemus. Go above and beyond your budget and buy some nice makeup for the mother. That's Klal Yisrael. That's Mesiras Nefesh. That's what's going to allow us to win the war right now. And it's fascinating. Rav Shraga Feivelman de Lovitz Zatzal used to say that 37, that every generation has an avoda that it must complete. Our generation's avoda is Mesiras Nefesh. Each individual must extend himself more greatly in avodas Hashem. And the Siyum HaShas is such a perfect example of this. And Rav Schwab concludes one of these essays. There are a few essays I put together. He says, there are two ways to save ourselves during these final days before Mashiach. Increase our Torah and Chesed, which we've been speaking about for a while. And the second is to serve Hashem with Mesiras Nefesh. That's our job now. Push ourselves beyond. That's the message of Hanukkah. Let's take this Bach one step further. A understanding of this Bach, he drashlu that they were lackadaisical, and then we'll tie it into the Shema Yisrael. And where it's Hashem end with the story. The Tama Hashem Yishmor, Rabbi Ruben Berachayim brings, the Lo Matzio Shech, Zir B'nei Yisrael, Filo Korban HaChabim, Imahem, Umashin Drashel Bavoda, our question, they kept on bringing Korbanos, what does it mean they were lackadaisical? So says the Hashem Yishmor, the Kavanah Rabach in the bracket, She Yavanim Echshichu Einem Shalei Yisrael, B'gzei Rasa, the Yavanim darkened our eyes, and they instilled, they injected within the hearts of the Jews, Choshech Vehester Beruchnias, in our spirituality. And that caused them to have krivus ruach, to do what they were doing with coldness, without feeling. Like to do mitzvot sanoshi melumata, ubelo hisaras, ferikshu, pneumir halev, ein lechai drashla, pavoda, dola mizu. What's one of the greatest types of weaknesses when you don't put your energy and your feeling into it? We read, he continues, the Berachayim. We read about the Nasim that brought the Korbanos every day. Why do we list every Nasi? Because every Nasi brought their own energy. Every Nasi brought their own focus. This is Aaron HaKohen, Melamed Shloshina. No 2 days were the same. Every day was filled with passion. That's how we have to light the Hanukkah candles. My friends, this is another message. Yes, there's the idea of Mesiras Nefesh moving out of our comfort zone. Part of Mesiras Nefesh is when I'm doing the mitzvah, do it with passion. This brings us to the famous essay Rav Pinchas sets out. Again, we've done this many, many moons ago. 41. It says in Zechariah, Vararti Banayach Sion Abanayach Yavon, and I awaken my son Sion over my son's Yavon. Sion, Zion, and Yavon have the same exact letters, except Sion has a tzaddik in front of it. Explains Rav Pinchas Zatzal, that makes all the difference. You can have two people who are learning, two people who are, you know, in kola, and mitzvos, and chesed. One is a Sion, and one is a Yavon. What's the difference? The tzaddik, the letter tzaddik. What does the letter tzaddik represent? We know. Source 43, Atzadik, Vitzadik, Bemunaso, Yichya. Literally, the Tzadik lives in his Amunah. Another way of understanding it, Hamida Shal Tzadiki Chaim, Vitzadik, Bemunaso. What creates the Tzadik's Amunah? Yichya, Chios. The life force, the difference between a Tzadik and a non Tzadik is how much Chios do you have? Both people can daven, both people can learn, but one is doing in a lackadaisical, oh, I have to do it, and one is, wow, hodu Hashem, every line, every, to invest in yourself. That's why the Midav Tzadik is called Kel Chai, it's alive, it's vibrant. Kishadam Ovedet Hashem in 44, Virak Shomer Miskeret Vishigra. If you just doing what you have to do, and there's no passion in what you're doing, you're Yevonim. If I'm doing what I'm doing today and I'm davening today, like I davened a year ago, 2 years ago, I'm a Yavon. That's the darkness. I'm living in darkness. 45. B'chanukah Am Yisrael hochiach et atzmo shu am chai. Chanukah is about we're alive. And that's because paratz et hamisgeret. They broke the borders of the Misyavdim. 180 years they were in this like state. Chanukah and the Mesiris Nefesh, they broke out of it. That is the nes of Chanukah. Hashem and Shevederech HaTeva, oil, which by natural law doesn't last more than a day, Paratz HaTamizgeret, it also broke down the borders. It lasted 8 days. And that's the fire of the passion. When we look at the Chanukah menorah and we see the candles that are going upward, that has to ignite within us this passion to serve Hashem upward. That's what Hashem wants from us. He wants our chios, our life force. He drashlu, they were we, yeah, I'm doing it, I'm davening, I'm saying brachos. Where are you? Sadiq ben Nato Yichya, you're a Yavon, are you a Tzion? That's the mysterious nefesh that we need to have. Breaking the borders of our being stuck in this rut of doing this the same way and being able to just create, ignite in my Avodas Hashem. Now, my friends, let's bring this back to the Shema Yisrael, and we'll end with the story in Yirtzeh Hashem, 39. The Gemara teaches us on the Pasuk, Eish Tamid Tukad al Mizbeach, a continuous flame should be on the Mizbeach, that this is referring to the menorah, which is the Eish Shemarti Lecha Tamid, which is Lahalot Ner Tamid. So they learn out that the Perush the Darshinan Sheyesh Ladlika to Menorah Daikam Eish HaMizbeach. Very fascinating. The menorah was lit from the fire of the outer Mizbeach. What does this mean? So Sfasemetz explains, continuing Rav Shor, Derech Bavodah Hashem Yitbarach is teaching us a path in our service of Hashem. Mizbeach, double underline, Moreh Mesiris Nefesh. What's a Mizbeach? It's Mesiris Nefesh, right? It's Korbanos. I'm giving something to the Ribbono Shalom. Shadam makriva smoke a korban l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm giving myself as a korban to Hashem. And the or of the menorah is the or of Torah. The only way to learn Torah is to have that mesiris nefesh. That's what's built in. So he continues in 40. The yesh lanu l'sholim or shabad liki b'menorah he or shayach l'menorah to make dash. So where do we get it today? I don't have a mizbeach. I'm lighting my menorah. And we say that our menorah is kodesh. It's dumya. It's similar to the menorah. It's like hektesh from the menorah of the mikdash. But how do I light my menorah? I don't have the mizbeach. So even though it's not a question, there's still something to learn. He quotes the Eretz Tzvi. Ki eish ha-mesiris nefesh. Our fire of mesiris nefesh. All year, when we say Shema Yisrael, that is what lights the menorah on the time of Chanukah. Chanukah is the yantif of Mesiris Nefesh. Where do we get this Mesiris Nefesh from? From saying Shema all year round. Chanukah is the celebration of the 25. The celebration of the 25 letters in Kriyat Shema back to Tikkuni Zohar, that is what allows me to light the Chanukah candles now. Chanukah, hey, we're able to alight on the Mesiris Nefesh of Kriyat Shema all year to be able now to light the Chanukah menorah on Chanukah. Taking this one step further, the Tasha Rebbe Zatzal in Avoda Ravota, he says, Ki b'pasuk Shema Yisrael tzarik kol acham Yisrael l'kabel atzmo mesiris nefesh al kiddush Hashem. When we say Shema Yisrael, I have to give my life, my mind to the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'zehu chanu shebnei Yisrael chanu minisoneihem. They were able to be safe from their enemies. Kafhei b'zchud hakoach shel mesiris nefesh al kohanim. So chanu kafhei, how were we able to survive? Because we were Moser Nefesh. So while Lekha Balibu was saying we were Moser Nefesh in St. Kriyat Shema all year, he's saying is that the Mesiris Nefesh of Klal Yisrael is akin to the Shema Mesiris Nefesh that we have. And he says, This is teaching us that on Hanukkah, obviously all year round, we have to focus in on saying Shema Yisrael, Al Kein Hasman Grama Bimimelu, 42 Lassim Yoter Leif and Nefesh on the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, Shal Shem Mitzvah Zu Nikra Yom Tov Zeh, because that's what the name of the Yontif is. It's about Kriyat Shema. And this mitzvah is that you have to pay attention. You can't be sleeping like you might be a wool of davening. That when I say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, I'm putting Hashem on me in all aspects of my life. Hashem, Hayahu Vevi, yeah, Adonakol, Elokim, Takif, Ba'al Yechola. I need to mamish focus that Hashem is Echad and Miyuchad and there's no other. But you know what, my friend? To scream in 43, Shema Yisrael with all your might, it's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about inculcating the message of Shema Yisrael in the 43 in the arrow. Sha'afim yavru alav v'meshach hayom v'alayla nisyonos rabi. So that if you have different temptations in the day and night, yimsur, double underline, nafsho shelo lasot davar negi ritzona yusfara. Saying Shema means making Shema your mantra in life. That if you have a question of lying, a question of stealing, of not doing something honest, a question of Lashon Hara, the Shema Yisrael is resonating in your head. I'm Moser Nefesh. I'm going against my natural inclination. I want to say this. I would love to make more money. I would love, and I'm going against this to do Ritzon Hashem. Hashem Echad Umiyuchad. This is our job. Lahamlich et Havorei Baruch Hu. That's the ikar of the mitzvah that we have to take on ourselves. So when we say Chanukah Hei, the whole idea of Chanukah is about Mesiras Nefesh. How were the Chashmonaim successful? They were Nitrashlu, they were weakened, and then they strengthened themselves. They were Moser Nefesh, they went above and beyond, they fought even though it was impossible to fight. They looked for the oil even though they couldn't find any. They lit even though it was impossible. That Mesiras Nefesh of the Kohanim is what enabled them to be successful. The quintessential Mesiras Nefesh is found in this line of Shema. When we say Chanukah Hei, where do you find that this is the essence of Hanukkah? Because this is what the Gemara is talking about. The victory in the war, the finding of the oil, it's all about Mesiras Nefesh. What encapsulates Mesiras Nefesh in the ultimate sense is the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael during Hanukkah. Obviously, all year, to focus in on this pasuk. This is what ignites our Torah. This is what ignites our mitzvot. This is what ignites us. This is the Chanukah. This is the dedication we need to do. And the Tasha Rebbe ends, and he says, Chanu, which we've been saying encamped, almost like encamped on this message, also comes from the Shon of Rachamim, like the pasuk Elokim Yechoncha B'ni, of Chaim, of Rachamim, Shaydei Mesiras Nefesh, Hamamru Raz B'Kafei, through the Mesiras Nefesh, which is hinted at in the 25 letters that are found, Shema Yisrael, Shem Mem Ayin, right? Nimshachim Rachamim V'Chasadim Minkodem Hashem Al Knesset Yisrael Amen Kein Yiratzon, brings down tremendous Rachamim and Chasadim from Hashem on Knesset Yisrael. Chanu Kafei, when we are Moser Nefesh, then we bring down a matnat chinam, a tremendous chayim, from the Ribono Shalom into our lives. I'd like to end with a beautiful story, which I think encapsulates what we're speaking about, breaking down the barriers within us, being Moser Nefesh, and its implications. I read a story, perhaps you heard it as well, of a fellow from Bnei Brak is driving on the 1, which is the main highway to Shalim. His name's Yehuda, and he sees the car along the edge. This is in the summer, end of the summer. And he pulls over, and he says, you know, he sees a father, a mother, a little boy, and a dog, and says, can I help you? They said, yeah, we've been sitting here for a half hour. You know, in the Haredi world, you know about Yedidim, you know about Chaverim, you know about people who help you when you're stuck on the road. This was a Chiloni family, not yet religious, and they didn't know clue. They're just sitting there like, don't know what to do. We ran out of gas. He says, no problem. Motza, there's a gas station. You know, I'll just swing around, go to Motza, fill up a jerry can, and I'll bring it back. And sure enough, that's what he does. Brings it back, fills it up. They said, okay, how much do we owe you? He says, nothing. It was a kindness. They said, but the gas costs money. Your time costs money. Your gas costs money. Mappy Dome, it's a kindness. Enjoy it. So they said, you know, we've never met those things before, religious Jews. And they went to the back of their car, and they said, we have a bumper sticker. You know, we hate Dostim. And they said, we're going to rip it off. And, you know, they just schmoozing for a little bit. Where are you from? We're from this town down south by the Aza border called Be'eri, which has now become very famous. And they exchanged phone numbers, and that was that. Yehuda calls the next day and says, I'm just checking up, make sure you got home okay with the amount of gas that I gave you. Everything was fine. And I said, well, that was really sweet of you to call. That was really, you know, above and beyond. And then Yehuda calls on Friday. And he says, you know, I just wanted to give you a story that you could tell your son before Shabbos, even though there was no Shabbos in their house. And he calls every Friday, and he shares another story, and, you know, just being friendly with them, no pushing anything. And, you know, at some point he says to them, you know, maybe you want to come for a Shabbos and, you know, see what Dostim are like and how they celebrate. So he said, let me ask my wife. He said, you know, we're always interested in a different experience. And so then the Yehuda calls up Rav Zaid, who lives in B'nai Brak, famous Magid, and says, you know, when should I invite them? It's Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. That's not a good idea. Sukkot is a little bit uncomfortable, particularly when there are mice and rats in B'nai Brak now. This isn't a good idea. Rav Zaid said, what about Simchas Torah? He said, well, Simchas Torah, it's my turn to go to my father in Shderot. So I can't invite them then. He says, well, bring your dad there too. Find an apartment for everybody. And that's what they did. This family came from Be'eri to B'nai Brak for Simchas Torah. The father came from Shderot. And everyone's lives were saved. The father was across the street from the police station. They would have been in trouble. The son would have been, you know, in physical danger. And obviously this family in Be'eri, we know what happened down there. This family has now sent their son to a shuvu school, which is a religious school for people of the similar background. What was the end of the story? I don't know, but I'll tell you the point of the story. Stopping along the side of the road. That's a chesed. That's nice. Calling the next day. Calling every Erev Shabbos. That's Mesiras Nefesh. That's going above and beyond. That's Shlemus. That's the wholeness. That's what we have to aim for in Avodas Hashem. That one small act of stopping, of caring, of reaching beyond yourself to others, that has saved families in Klal Yisrael, both physically and spiritually. My friends, our calling on Hanukkah this year, Tashim Pei Dalet, is to break down our barriers, to go beyond ourselves. And in that school's Chanu Kafe, the chayin, the matnat chinam, should come down in the schus of our Mesiras Nefesh, in the schus of our Kriyat Shema, and the Ribono Shel Olam should be arachti ner l'mashichi, that these should be the preparatory candles for the ultimate redemption.